So today's text is, again, Psalm 63, 5-6. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. We're going to have to backtrack a little bit. We have to remember that the first part of the series was about remembering. So that means to have in mind an idea which had been in the mind before, and which recurs to the mind without effort. Part two was about meditation, and that means to dwell on anything in thought, to contemplate, to study, to turn or revolve any subject in the mind. And now part three is about being satisfied, and that means having the desires fully gratified, made content. I always mention the first mention of the word. Okay, so the word today is satisfied. It's in Exodus 15:9, and the Bible says, "The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them." There's three reasons why I constantly mention the first mention in the scriptures. One, it sets the root tone for the word itself. Two, it prepares our mind to compare every other mention to the root mention. And three, it keeps you grounded in the scriptures by leading you on the right track. Because what happens is sometimes you have your own opinion of words or you think you know what they mean and all that stuff. So you can get off track if you don't get the proper meaning of a word. And so that helps a lot, finding out when it was first mentioned. And then you study along whatever you have to study. So here's a good example. This verse is a good example of that. There's an expression being used with our text. And the first mention is, my soul shall be satisfied. And in Exodus, it says, my lust shall be satisfied. Okay, so we see, if you want to do a quick Bible study, one word changes, lust to soul. One is a worldly, fleshly comment, and the other is a deep understanding of the Lord and His doings. So the lust part is a fleshly comment. I'm satisfying whatever I want. I can get whatever I want. And the other is the soul, which that's the Lord's territory. So quickly, just by checking out where the word was mentioned first, you can learn a lot about the Bible. And it can get really, really deep, really fast. So you see, the first mention does a lot more than just mention. Like I said, it could be a deep Bible study if you just follow it along. And pray about it, obviously, so you don't get off track. So now we have to take a look at David. Okay, David was a poet. David was a musician. David was a warrior, a king, human, and sometimes superhuman. But it was always God-centric. It was always about God. It was praising God, being satisfied in God, meditating on God. And so that's David. That's why we take our example from him in this case, when it comes to being satisfied, when it comes to meditating, when it comes to remembering. If we see in Acts 13:22, the verse says, "And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will." Okay, so David was a man after God's own heart. So because he kept the Lord first in everything, well, almost in everything, God actually gave him a title as a man after my heart. God doesn't give away titles very easily. But forever, David, King David, will be known as a man after God's own heart. David, for the most part, was a man easily satisfied in the Lord. He exuded confidence in him. He meditated and loved the law of God. So if we were to use David as an example, how can we reach such a level in Christian growth that we eat, sleep, drink the word and its great riches? Well, in these last days of apostasy within the body of Christ, we must start with baby steps. The first step is to ask biblical questions. Okay, so the first step, whenever we want to get serious with God, we have to ask biblical-based questions. Okay, so here's an illustration just to show you where where I'm going with this. When I first got saved over 20 years ago, just before getting saved, I asked a lot of questions. And the questions lasted for 2 weeks. Okay, and because it satisfied my curiosity and it answered all my questions, I was satisfied with the answers, I got saved. It made sense. So that I was satisfied, my soul was satisfied with the answers I received, and it resulted in my salvation. So now the practice of asking questions does not go away just because we're saved. It actually intensifies since we now have access to a mysterious, complicated, yet simple to digest, Holy Ghost-inspired scripture. You can never ask the Lord Jesus Christ too many questions, since he has the answers before you ask. So in keeping with my inquisitive nature, today's sermon consists of three questions. Number one, how does one become satisfied with the Lord? Number two, who in the Bible was satisfied enough as to accept what God has given and not given them? And number three, when was the last time we were satisfied with what the Lord gave us? So we're just going to break down those three questions. And question number one is, how does one become satisfied with the Lord or in the Lord? First off, we need a blueprint, someone who already did it and we just learn and adapt it to our life. For example, someone goes on a diet and it works for them. Then they get all excited and they tell you, hey, I went on a diet, you should try my diet. And you try it and you get discouraged because it doesn't work for you. So at this point, usually people quit and don't diet anymore, or diet 20 years later after they get high blood pressure or whatever. But the problem is, what we have to do is take maybe that system that worked for somebody else and adapt it to ourselves. And then you'll see that there's going to be results. That person became the blueprint to what we should do, and then we just tinker with it and adapt it to ourselves. So David's case is not exactly our case, because we were not a king of Israel. We weren't going out fighting for the Lord. We weren't killing people. We weren't, you know, we don't write poems. We don't sing hymns. Well, we don't write hymns. We sing hymns. So it's not exactly the same situation, but we can look at our lives and say, well, wait a minute. Maybe there's some things that are similar and some things are just personal to me. But yet we can still try to live being satisfied with what the Lord gives. With the scriptures, when David praises God about creation and his works, he's talking about how many times the Lord kept him alive. He's talking about how many times he stared at the open sky of the desert and without light pollution blocking the sky, seeing an untold amount of stars. This may not be our case because that was David's life. This is how we should begin to be satisfied with the Lord, with the small things. Number one is praising him with psalms. Psalm 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. Praising is a simple concept. Humans do it on a constant basis. Baby's first steps, mothers freak out and gush over the baby. An athlete may get praise for his physical prowess. A scientist may get praise for lying once again to the general public about climate change and evolution. An actor may get praise over a particular role. A president may get praise for doing something non-destructive to its citizens. So if we as sinful humans can praise ourselves all day long, why don't we just turn our attention to the Lord and praise him for a few seconds, and then we can go back to taking selfies. So that's the thing, is like we have to become a more God-minded, more God-centric, to snap us out of this worldly life that we live. What helps is if you put on the old-time hymns, you know, try to sing along with the words, you put them on and it changes your spirit. Okay, there was a hymn that said, praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song. So, excuse my voice, I'm sick. So, let's say you're having a difficult time, you could just break into part of a hymn, a chorus. It gets your mind on God, okay?